Now, the state is refocusing its efforts on water quality in Wisconsin as concerns over well water contamination and so-called forever chemicals continue. Two new reports were released late last week looking at how to make improvements to water quality. And today, we'll look at findings from both of them. And we're taking your calls throughout the end of the hour at 800-642-1234. Do you have issues with water quality where you live? If you use a private well, have you been able to trust the water you get from it? Or are there concerns about PFAS chemicals or lead where you live? Do you have your well tested regularly? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@wpr.org. We'll start with Representative Katrina Shankland. She's a Democratic member of the State Assembly representing Wisconsin's 71st Assembly District, which includes Stevens Point. She's also the vice chair of the Speaker's Task Force on Water Quality, whose report was released last week. Representative Shankland, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, you've been passionate about water quality for a long time. What does this issue look like in your district?
So recently, it's been about a year of studies and source contamination testing in the village of Nelsonville in the heart of my district, and 47% of the folks who live in the village of Nelsonville cannot drink their water due to nitrate contamination. That's just one example. There are other towns in Portage County that are at 25 to 30 to 40% contamination as well. And Portage County is not unique, unfortunately. There are many towns and villages in the Central Sands in central Wisconsin where 42% or 30% of folks can't drink water from their tap. And that's something that I take very seriously. I don't want people to have to worry about how they make their cup of coffee in the morning and how they have to get bottled water during a winter snowstorm. And I think it's really important that we act to prevent contamination, as well as to address remediation and getting everyone clean water for the many folks in Wisconsin who just do not have access to it right now.
Well, there are 13 proposals for legislation in this package from the task force. Let's start with your proposal to create a new Office of Water Policy. What would that look like?
Sure. So this Office of Water Policy would be hosted within the Wisconsin Geological and Natural History Survey. And the folks at the WGNHS are hydrogeologists. They work on mapping the state's geology as it relates to our water resources. And they've been tremendous in terms of providing technical assistance to us as a task force, as well as to many projects across the state that have been dealing with contamination, where you have different counties working together to map the contamination and work to fix it. So the idea is within the Office of Water Policy, there will be a full-time staff position to coordinate efforts on managing, conserving, protecting, and enhancing our state's water resources. And that includes looking at, you know, a liaison between the legislature, between state agencies, and helping us improve access to clean water in Wisconsin, and then providing technical assistance to other units of government as well. So it would really be another position to coordinate among all the different stakeholder groups, including UW Institution and our state agencies and the Department of Workforce Development, so that we have a better understanding of what needs to be done on water policy in the state of Wisconsin, and that we're making sure across state agencies, across institutions like the University of Wisconsin system, for example, that we're really addressing the issue in a cohesive, comprehensive way.
And you talked about the high number of Wisconsinites who cannot drink the water that their house is provided with. Can you walk us through the part of the proposal that would increase state funding to help those Wisconsinites replace or treat contaminated wells?
Sure. So for the past few years, I've been working on reforming the Well Compensation Grant Program. This program has existed since the 80s in Wisconsin, so for decades, but so few people have access to it because the way it's structured right now, you'd be required to own livestock that uses the contaminated well in order to get the funds. So what this bill would do is it would remove the livestock requirement and it would lower the contamination levels so that folks who are above the health standard, above 10 milligrams per liter of nitrate contamination, would have access to the program. And that is many, many people, thousands of people across Wisconsin who do not have access right now. And whenever we traveled across the state, you know, we had 14 public hearings. We heard the same thing at every public hearing. People testified that they were sick of not being able to drink their water and that they needed both a long-term solution as well as treatment and remediation options. So what the Well Compensation Grant Program bill will do is give people access to clean water, whether it's through reconstructing their well. So, for example, if you know the well casing is broken and needs to be fixed, retiring their well, getting a reverse osmosis system put in, bottled water temporarily while they're waiting for the long-term fix, getting a new well, or hooking up to a public utility. And that's for people above 10 parts per million, which is the federal and state health standard for nitrate. But this program also applies to folks who've got bacteria contamination and arsenic contamination too. So I'm excited that we're opening up the program up to more people.
We're talking right now with Representative Katrina Shanklin. She's a Democrat representing Wisconsin's 71st Assembly District. And we are talking about the proposals that have come out of the state task force looking at water quality issues. She is the vice chair of that task force. And as you mentioned, Representative Shanklin, the task force had multiple hearings across the state. What other issues did you hear from people that they are the most concerned about?
Sure. So one of the greatest issues we heard was we need to fund our county conservationists in every county. These folks are the boots on the ground, whether it's algae in the local lake, whether it's on-farm management and best practices with the local farmer who might want to prevent contamination going into the local stream or the groundwater. These are the people who really address prevention every single day, as well as remediation. And the state needs to boost our county conservation funding. So we introduced legislation to address that by providing over $3 million more in funding to county conservation programs across the state. And we heard this at almost every single hearing. And in fact, it was one of the, I believe it was the number one issue we heard. We also heard from folks who just can't get access to their water and asked us to reform the Well Compensation Grant Program, which we did. And we heard from people on the need to address a long-term strategy and solution. And so one of the things that we wanted to do as a task force was mention that we don't believe our recommendations are the end, but rather the beginning. We want to continue this work through the legislature, knowing that over a year of work and 14 public hearings and thousands of miles around the state, we heard many different ideas and issues from folks, and we addressed many of them with 13 bills. But we also know we have more work to do. So I want to make that very clear. I think the task force did a great job putting together these bills and addressing the issues that we heard from many folks about. But I also know that this work must continue and that it cannot end within this legislative session. So I'm very committed to continuing this work beyond this next year.
This is not a period of time in the state or in the nation where bipartisanship is often successful, but it seems like this task force, Republicans and Democrats, have been working very well together. What do you attribute that?
I attribute it to the willingness to work together, to listen to our constituents, to travel across the state, and the fact that, first of all, this clean water should never be a partisan issue. And second of all, it is such a personal and emotional issue for our constituents who don't have access to clean water. And we should not be relying on bottled water for current and future generations. And so I think I want to credit the many people across the state who showed up to our public hearings and who've been organizing on this issue for a very long time, who've been flagging it as an incredibly important issue for the people of the state of Wisconsin, because it's their work that's gotten us here. And again, I think we need to be committed to doing much more. I think we need to be working on the next state budget and getting as much water quality initiatives, as many water quality initiatives as we can in the budget. But in the meantime, I've been very, very pleased with the collaboration. I think it speaks to the power of people of Wisconsin who've made this their issue and asked us to work together.
Obviously, as you said, the budget is going to be a big factor in this. Are there some steps that can be taken to make some of these proposals a reality before they get put into a next budget cycle?
Yeah, so the bills have been introduced and they're currently circulating for co-sponsorship, and many of them have strong bipartisan support, whether it's a pilot program to reduce nitrate contamination altogether, or whether it's our county conservationist funding, our well compensation program. I'm really excited about the support. if people like these ideas and want to see them get signed into law, I would encourage them to reach out to their state senator and state representative and ask them to co-sponsor the bill so that we have as many people who've endorsed it publicly as possible on the bill early. And then from there, you know, testify at the public hearings, help us get these bills past the finish line, and let's keep working on clean water.
Before we let you go, Representative Shanklin, last week was a big week for water quality reports. The governor also released a report with the DNR on water quality. This was part of his Year of Clean Drinking Water initiative. How do you see his proposals and the DNR's proposals working along with the goals of the task force?
I view it as supplementary and complementary. I think it's important that the legislature and executive branch and state agencies all work together. And although the governor had DACAP, the Agriculture Department, the Department of Health Services, and the Department of Natural Resources at all 14 of our hearings, providing us with scientific information about the issues and their recommendations. And we took many of their recommendations and acted on them. And it's my hope to continue acting on their recommendations. So some of our bills mirror their recommendations and their report that they issued both in October and January. And I'm looking forward to continuing to work with them and appreciate their insights and expertise.
Well, Representative Shanklin, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
That was Representative Katrina Shanklin, a Democrat representing Wisconsin's 71st Assembly District, which includes Stevens Point. She was with us today to talk about the findings from a state task force looking at water quality issues in the state and to talk about what comes next. In a moment, we'll look at the report on water quality from Governor Tony Evers and the DNR. Stay with us here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. We're continuing our conversation about water quality in Wisconsin. The legislature and Governor Evers released two separate reports looking at the issue last week. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. What is water quality like where you live? Do you live in an area where there are concerns about PFAS or lead contamination? Or do you get your water from a private well? What do you want to see your state government do to improve water quality, if anything? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or tweet us at Central Time WPR. Todd Ames joins us now. He's the Assistant Deputy Secretary at the Department of Natural Resources, and he's with us to talk about Governor Evers' Year of Clean Drinking Water report. Todd, thanks for joining us.
Happy to be here.
So what were some of the steps taken by the Evers administration to deal with clean drinking water last year?
The very beginning of the year, the governor, one of his first acts as the new governor of the state, announced that 2019 was the year of clean drinking water, and immediately began to put together a series of proposals that would be part of the state budget. So there were a number of those proposals that actually made it into the state budget, and So that began the effort. But we have been focused for the last 12 months in three different areas, looking at the challenges of lead service lines in with water utilities in the state, looking at issues associated with these human-made chemical compounds, as you mentioned, referred to as PFAS, and then also looking at things like nitrates and pathogens that are contaminating drinking water, private wells and drinking water supplies. And so the number of things that we've, steps that we've taken in each of those three areas that's detailed in this report. But I think equally important is driving home a point in this report that certainly we've got a lot more work to do, that it took us many years of, in some cases, neglect with our systems to get us to where we are today, and we're going to have to do a lot more moving forward. And so this lays out what are the steps that we're doing to move forward so that we can make sure that any Wisconsinite in the state, no matter where they are, can be confident that when they turn the tap, that the water is safe to drink.
Well, let's zero in on those three big areas. The first, the lead contamination. Drinking water. Certainly, we've heard a lot about that out of Milwaukee County. That was a huge issue and continues to be in Flint, Michigan. How long should Wisconsinites expect before they can live in places that are completely free of lead in their water?
Well, it's depending on where you are, you may already be there. The city of Madison actually has already replaced all of its lead service lines. There's about 10 other communities in the state that are making some good substantive progress and actually have local ordinances to deal with it. But in other areas of the state, it's going to take a while. We have about 200,000 lead service lines in the state in about 130 communities, and it's going to cost money and take time to get those lines replaced. Now, in the short term, the good news is that as long as those communities are using various treatment technologies on those lead service lines, in the short term, there's no lead that is coming from those pipes into people's drinking water supplies. But longer term, the only long-term safe way to make sure that we don't have those problems is to get the lead out. And so that effort will move forward over a period of years. And one of the things we've been working to do is to get more funds available, both state and federal funds available to those local communities so that they are able to offset some of the cost of removing those lines, that it doesn't fall entirely on the backs of the local water utility ratepayers.
Talking with Todd Ames right now. He's Assistant Deputy Secretary at the DNR. We're talking about the Governor's Year of Clean Drinking Water report. And Todd, you know, it seems like all of a sudden we're hearing the term PFAS left and right. Tell us first briefly what those are and how the DNR is planning on dealing with those chemicals.
So this is a suite of chemical compounds that we've been manufacturing in this country for several decades. Although the older form of these are the ones that we have the most research out and suggest that they have the most potential for causing harm with low birth weights in children, links to possible carcinogens, et cetera. And these compounds were originally made to make water slide off from various surfaces. So think Teflon pans, think Scotchgard, think various sorts of surfactants and manufacturing facilities. And unfortunately, now we've got those contaminants out there. Another big area of those is firefighting foam, which does a very good job of putting out chemical fires, but also can create some contamination. So there's a huge effort underway, not only in our state, but in several other states around the country. And we are right in the process of moving forward with getting standards on the books in Wisconsin to have drinking water standards, surface water standards, and groundwater standards to make sure that we know when we've got a contamination problem and then we can actually move forward with cleanup.
Let's take a quick call from Stephen in New Glarus. Hi, Stephen.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Hello. Oh, yeah, I own property up in Ashland County, and I can't use the water there at all.
And why is that?
Well, it's an old problem that's always been there, and I'm not sure there's much anything can be done about it. But the Amish community next to me, the Amish don't have holding tanks for their septic system for human waste. They use outhouses, and they allow the waste to go into the ground.
And we'll have to leave it there, Stephen. We're a little short on time. Todd, we certainly have issues with animal waste as well, also pesticides. Stephen's saying also human waste. That's a whole other category.
Yeah, I would say overall, I mean, that when you're talking about private wells and drinking water supplies, I think for all of your listeners, the key thing to think about here is we have a variety of contaminants that are causing problems in those wells, and we've got to get a better handle on what is causing that contamination and also what can be done to both address the source and also deal with when you've got a contaminated well. One of the reasons this is such a big deal in Wisconsin is that we have a lot more private wells that provide drinking water to our residents. Nationally, about 10% of the people in the country get their drinking water from private wells. In Wisconsin, it's closer to one-third of our households in the state. So because of that, it's all the more important that we focus on where are the problems, what's causing the contamination, and what can we do to eliminate it moving forward. So that's why we've focused on that, and there's a whole effort that the Evers administration has launched to focus on things like nitrate and pathogen contaminations, those things that are getting into the wells and causing problems that makes the drinking water unsafe.
Well, Todd, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, and have a nice rest of your day.
You too. That was Todd Ames, Assistant Deputy Secretary at the DNR. He was with us today to talk about the Governor's Year of Clean Drinking Water report. Earlier in the segment, Representative Katrina Shankland, a Democrat representing Wisconsin's 71st Assembly District, was with us. We talked about the findings from a state task force looking at water quality issues. If you want to find out more about either of the two reports we looked at today, you can find more information linked on our website, WPR.org/Central Time. And for more information, go to wiscontext.org and check out their drinking water quality series.